Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
We bless your name, Father. We thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because we are chosen by you to have an intimate relationship with you. And precious Holy Spirit, we shall grow in that intimacy, and it shall be the foundation of everything that we do. That we shall not worship from afar, but we shall worship from right within. From right close to you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Celebrate the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our God is good. Glory to God. You know, some interesting things happened today. I mean, this week, this past week. Interesting things. Now, which you've heard about, of course, in the news. But before I get to the interesting things, there's this guy who is a very good Australian rugby player who stood and quoted a scripture on his Instagram account and has caused such an uproar because how dare he attack homosexuals. But he just quoted a scripture. And chief among those who criticized him is a certain Brian Houston, the pastor of Hillsong Church. You see, like, it's a pity when the laity, the believers, believe the Bible more than the pastors. Like, you know, the society has been turned on its head when a believer quotes a scripture as it is and says, you know, these whatever homosexuals and what will not inherit the kingdom. And then there is criticism from everywhere, including from a pastor. But of course, I have never read, okay, honest truth, I've never really taken that guy seriously. And I can't even watch him. Because, you know, this gospel which takes the spirituality of the Bible out of it and turns it into some principles. Principles of success, principles of this, principles of that. And like, as if it's like some kind of self-help book. So they get stories there and come up with self-help scripture, sermons, and then they present it as such, and they have no spine whatsoever. They have absolutely no spine. So the culture changes, and this pastor thinks God is going to change with the culture. Like, how stupid is that? So the Bible is going to change because homosexuals went and did their thing, and suddenly, you can't criticize them? Like, are you serious, pastor? Like, how stupid is that? Like, the Bible is going to be the Bible. Now, the thing is, I pray God that out of this, you know, there never arises somebody who is spineless like that, who cannot stand up to something which is so clear-cut. Now, the guy himself who said it, he has a contract of $4 million playing rugby. And he said, if you want to terminate it, you terminate it. I will follow the laws of Jesus Christ. Now, so he told them, no, what I am. The guy got born again in 2011. He said, I am what I am. I'm not going to retract what I said. It is scripture. If you want to terminate the contract, go ahead and terminate it. I would like to play like rugby, but if I'm not, it's okay. Now, when the believer has more spine than the pastor, then we are in serious trouble. All because people want to be accepted by the world. What has the world got to offer? Praise the Lord. You know, I was talking to somebody, and he was saying, you know, these things which the devil comes and presents as he can give you. So he told me he was somewhere in a hotel room praying, and then suddenly the whole place turns around, and I know he said he went to the bathroom. So when he reached, he had noises in the bathroom. When he reached there, he found something going on. So then the devil came and told him, now, if you come to my side, this is what I will give you. Then he told him that, you know, now when you, in that thing, when somebody says something, it's actually happening. So he said, you'll go and meet the Pope. And he's saying that, and he's already meeting the Pope. It's in the spirit. Now it's already happening. And then he says, and then you'll address the UN General Assembly if you come to my side. So when I heard that, I laughed. I said, that's the best the devil can give, meeting the Pope. I don't want, even if it would mean I stay who I am, I don't want. You understand? Like, how can that be? The devil deceives stupid people. How do you give up eternity? Okay, not that guy, whatever, but my point is, how do you, meeting the Pope? And that's a big temptation? At least he should have told me, you will give me cappuccino. Now that would be a temptation. Meeting the Pope, and I said, man, the devil has nothing to offer. Do you understand? And addressing UN, tell me you give me a second cappuccino. And I realized, you have to have gotten yourself to a place where you believe this world has something to offer for you to start going down that trench. Because what is it that they are going to do? What is it that they are going to do? You know, there was the time when they came here and they were going for journalists and so on. Of course, they can't approach me because they know I am radical. And the minute they do, it will be all over. Me, I don't keep quiet. They don't do these secret things. And because of that, so many people fear me, by the way, because they have this thing that even if you tell me in quiet, I'm going to go and blow it up. And I would do exactly that. So they have good reason to fear. Now, you are telling them, you know, visas to go where and so on, or go and do fellowships at Harvard and what? Really? That's the best? That's what you have to offer me? Harvard? I wouldn't even go there even if they were paying me per minute to be there. You understand? What do I want with, what do I want at Harvard? What? Okay, some people might want to go there and so on, but me, I don't want anything there. Now, then the guys come and, you know, now they are what? Writing stories, supporting. And then I see that the devil really has absolutely nothing to offer. Nothing whatsoever. You know, the other time I was in Hoymand, I met this guy who, he came to me and he's, now serving in a ministry which is under the Watchman, and he told me that he was doing some business and he has an anointing of business. Now suddenly his business got blocked completely, nothing was working out, and then money became extremely scarce. Then he was pushed to the wall, so he went to some top notch witch doctor in Masindi, and the guy told him that you have been selected. Now you see how the devil does his things, He first comes and frustrates, so that you run to him for solutions, okay? But you know, you can run to me, and I will hammer him, and you'll have a solution without him. You see, the thing is, so anyway, this guy goes there, and now they tell him he's supposed to start have you heard of the thing called Skull and Bones? It's a top occult, which presidents and what go to and all that, So many people, even the other day, George Bush said he's one of... I think actually you couldn't be president of America until you went there, except Trump. That's why they hate him so much. Because he broke all those rules. You have to go through their Council for Foreign Relations. What's that think tank called? The top think tank of the liberal thing. It's called... I've forgotten it. Anyway, those are the... It was headed by Condoleezza Rice. You don't know. You also seeing stars. Anyhow. And the thing with memory is when you try to overjoy, it refuses. It is very stubborn. So now when I'm talking other things, the name will come back. Anyhow, so he was supposed to start a version here. And they told him he was supposed to start it in Hoima. And they even told him exactly where he was going to have that building to start the Skull and Bones. Now the building has a discotheque. I mean, now that place has a discotheque. I don't know what, like, they tell you the exact place you're going to put it. You're going to put it there and so on. Anyway, it was a long story, really long, but to cut a long story short, the guy went a bit inside. Now, but the funny thing is, you see, because he hadn't made up his mind that he wanted to go there, even when he was trying to attempt to go there, the Lord was speaking to him. So he told me they gave him some eggs and told them, put them under your bed. And when you dream something, you come and tell us what you dreamt. So he put them, and he dreamt when his wife was dressed in black and looking miserable. And his brother was somewhere as if isolated. And for him, he was drinking soda. So he said when he woke up, God told him what the dream means. The dream meant that your brother is going to be the first one to be killed as a sacrifice for you to get what you want and for you to get the soda, as in something sweet which you came desiring. That's why your wife is very miserable, because your brother, she has just lost her brother-in-law. Now, he went and lied to them. He told them a different dream. They said, are you sure that's what you dreamt? He said, yeah, I dreamt of it. He confused it. He messed them up. So they said, anyway. But then when he came back, his brother was in school somewhere. Comes home and says he has terrible headaches. Serious headaches. So anyhow, eventually, you know, the thing is this. When people are going to be... So eventually, like, he saw a line of people. Now, this was a dream, not from them, but from God, of people who are going to have to die along the way for him to get the things he wants. Then he weighed the people he was going to lose against what he wanted and said, I'm not interested. But now that's where the katogo comes, because so he went, you would go and tell them that, you'd go and tell them that, that I don't have money. They told him, go and buy this, that, and that. Then he went and told them, I don't have money. But from the first time he went there, his business has started opening up. Even people were calling him immediately and what? No. So they told him, no, actually, you're lying. You have the money. You have this amount of money in your closet at home. Exact. You have this amount in the bank. You have this, even in your pocket right now, you have this. So the guy said, okay, I can't lie them there. They already know how much money I have. Now, anyhow, but the thing he told me is when he left and now got born again, he went, somebody told him, you know, you can be born again, but still stay in what? Your Catholic church. So he got born again. And he was really born again. But he went to his Catholic church because his wife was a staunch Catholic, you know. So he went to his Catholic church. Now, he said when you'd be there, you know, when you've been in the spirit, he said when you've been there, you see those statues you see up there. You actually see them having life. They are not just statues. They are not sculptures. You see them having life. So you're seeing them moving and doing things and what. And for him, he's seeing in the spirit and people are there. But you praying and so on. So he said, no, I don't think I can be born again here. So he left there and went to now an Anglican church. Now, in the Anglican church, something up. Like, you know, I used to wonder, because there's a time I went to for those funeral services of somebody who was close to me, to that church in Mbuya, you know, that Catholic church. Man, the atmosphere was terrible. By the way, you know, when you have a sense of, you know, it was worse than being in a pit latrine. I'm being honest with you. Like, you enter there are places I can tell you for sure. For instance, Grand Imperial. I don't know what would take me to Grand Imperial Hotel, because that's how the atmosphere is. And then there's somebody who came and, you know, one of our people, very lovely lady, and she has a business there. And the people of that kingdom are frustrating her business. So I told her the truth is this whole thing was constructed on the foundation of what? Of the devil. Now, it is difficult for us to lift you up to where you're supposed to be when you are in their thing. Now, then when I said, so I would go there sometimes to swim, because there are some friends there. I would go to swim, then go and, you know, convenience, jam in town. So I just leave where I go to Grand Imperial swim, then go to the steam bath. And then by the time I'm finished, there is no jam. Then I drive home. But I feel terrible. Then I said, no, I don't think I'm going to force this. Let me leave. Now that I had some guy, a born again guy, who said, God told him, don't go there. Don't go there. One day he fainted in the bathroom. And they lifted him out, got him out of there. Then they told him, I told you don't go there. Anyhow, so now you see that atmosphere, which I was telling you, whatever in Mbuya. Now guess what?
prophet told me that he went there one day and you're seeing those things moving, those things which you see there. Like, it's a spiritual and demonic. Demonic. But I put this, because Catholics have been angry with me because of saying that the Pope also copied me and kissed a shoe. Now you put this one so that they get times two angry that place is demonic. So you will cut it out and put it there. They will what? Because you see, there are some fools who think you have the right to comment on my faith and I shouldn't comment on yours. Are you stupid? I am Joseph Kableta. I fight fire with fire. So you wrote so many rubbish things, rubbish, 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 when I went and honored my spiritual father. But now for you, when your guy goes and kisses, you want me to start explaining, oh, it's a symbol of what, a symbol of what? That is rubbish. He copied me, period. Who did it first? Eh? Eh? Now you wait and see how many other people are going to go and start doing that. Eh? But never forget who started it. You know those things of in toilets in school, eh? Never forget Richard Kajimu. Eh? So there are some schools you can go and you find Richard's name there. Never forget. Anyhow, pioneer. But I don't know why they write them in toilets. Anyhow, I guess that's where people have a lot of idle time. So they can read and remember. Praise the Lord. So put that. I want to, you know, stop violence. Anyhow. But guys, somebody told me you're the stupidest man alive. Like, the other guys were commenting when I did it. Nobody asked me why or what. But somehow all the other guys messed them up. And he's going to mess them up some more. First of all, they were explaining camera angles when he appeared with an imam. So we learned lessons of how camera angles over how and they can cause over what. Imagine if it was me and somebody else doing that. Would anybody even want to know about camera angles? So I don't want to know. Those guys kissed. If they didn't, I don't know. I don't want to know. They kissed. Anyhow. So the camera is, you know, they are going to cut it out and post it. And make sure to read the comment. And you share. Anyhow, so the other guy, so he goes to an Anglican church. Now, you know, then the Anglican church, he said he saw something. You see now when somebody's eyes have been opened to the spiritual realm. So he saw something. He said he saw when the congregation side was full of light, but the pulpit was full of darkness. Then the Lord told him that these people are here to seek me, and they are seeking light, but their leaders are in darkness. So their leaders have nothing to offer. But the people were there actually doing what? Seeking the Lord. So they were, you know, imagine this side is darkness, but there is light. So he left and went to now a born-again church. Which is under somebody who is somebody who is known in this city. Who is very known. Now he went there, and that guy had also been to him recently. Now, when he went there, he saw this guy would do what? Would do something weird. He would get a... Now, that's the pastor of... If I mention his name, all of you know him. He's a certain bishop something. But you see, now, I want to tell you something, you people. There is what we call occult in the church today. I wish people understood. The biggest occult, because the devil right now is not seeking to go for those people who are looking for him. He's looking for those who are not looking for him. To deceive them that way. So this guy goes there. Then he looks at the pastor of the church. And the guy gets a handkerchief and starts saying certain words under his breath. And everybody is falling down. Everybody. At the end of the day, everybody, including the assistant pastor, everybody was falling down. Except this guy. And he stood and looked at him. And he heard the words you're saying. And they had nothing to do with God. He actually told me he knew that chanting from there, from the kingdom where he had been. So he looked at, and now this guy knew that he had seen him, but they had sent him to, as if bring him back. So, but then he found there very, very well-meaning people, you know, praising the Lord and so on. People were seeking God. So he went and told one of them that this guy is fake. Now you leave and go and start your thing. So that's how the guy left. Now he said, where am I going to go? That is now the guy whom he told, Now, this guy who has been in the spirit, for him, he knew the spiritual things, but he said he wanted somebody to teach him the Bible. And this other guy, for him, he knew the Bible in and out. So now they formed a tag team. You teach me the Bible, I'll teach you spirituality. So now they are like that. They came together, the two of them. But he said funny things because he knew now the other kingdom was coming for him, seriously. Now here is the funny thing. There was some snake which would come and talk to him when he was still there. But it comes in voices of different people. Because they wanted him to get into music, today the thing would be speaking to him in the voice of Bobby Wine. Put that also. And you see if all his social media goons can make me change. Like, okay, really? Those, whatever, what are they called? Whatever power. I won't say it. Okay, evil people power. Okay. So today it's speaking to him in the voice of one musician, another time Chameleon, another time even Bebe Cool, even all of them. Now, speaking to you. And you know, in the spirit, these things work. Like somebody told me the other day that the Lord was telling her something and it was my voice. Like, you know, him using my voice. She sent me a message and told me, you appeared in my room and told me ABC. In the spirit realm, it happens all the time. Okay? When God is telling you something and he uses one of his servants to come and portray them. But it's actually God. But he's just using one of his servants. So these things happen in the spirit. Anyhow. So he leaves and so he tells this guy, you leave. So the guy leaves. So then he starts getting my messages and what. And when I go there, he comes and tells me I want to, you know, submit under you, blah, blah, blah. But then those people have had one thing. Yeah, I was not even supposed to say all this. Those people had something, you know, unique in that they, that ministry of theirs, and they are very close, you know, to us. They had this thing that they would go to a certain church, certain place, and say, you invite the person, come and preach here. When the person comes and preaches, he leaves with almost all the congregation. Sometimes even with the pastor. Now there was a pastor who had a ministry, a big one, that had been there for 5 years. That guy went and what? And preached at that place. Then the pastor just closed his ministry and carried himself and his wife. And now they went under this. Now they are there saying, amen. When this other guy, a man who had the old ministry. Now, some of his people did not go with him there. Many of them actually went to other churches. But there is a way they subdue people like that. And that's how they grow their congregations. And what they do is when they come to, like if I would invite that person, of course I can't, you know, to a place like this. He gets the people who are spiritually weak, and the next thing you know, all of them see you. Because there are so many of you here who are very vulnerable. Like that. Like somebody who just, that's why the Bible says apostles, prophets, you know, to strengthen, so that they are not blown away, Ephesians 4, 12 and 13, by every wind of doctrine. So what he does, he comes with his people who follow him all over the place. It's almost like campaigns. Remember them, M7 used to pay people to go and make crowds. So he comes with his people, they fill the place. We've never actually filled these chairs. But then somebody comes, fills the chairs, then what? Then he talks big and what? Then you know, and then some of you, Kano people, all of you, see you. You go. And then I remain with the serious ones only. I think that's a good way of sieving. So maybe I should try it one day so that I remain with the what? Remain with the, like a joke of a man who came with a gun into a church and now said, told the preacher, you stop preaching. Pulled out a gun, cocked it and said, anyone who is not willing to take a bullet for Jesus, get out right now. Then almost all the church went except like 4 people. Then the guy put back his gun and told the preacher that now we've gotten rid of all hypocrites, continue with the sermon. So you remain with the only ones who are serious. They said, all of you, go and everybody stands up and leave. So now that's what, anyhow. So that's what they do. But now this guy told me, he used to see, he told his wife, you have 3 days, because he knew. 3 days to get born again or they are coming for you. They said, no, me, I'm a Catholic. One day she went outside to bathe. And now, you know, okay, you know, like those, whatever, you bathe on the veranda. So then a car comes and flashes lights. So she goes behind the house. Now there she sees what? A huge snake. So she jumps and cries. Now this guy comes here, torches you. There is no snake.
She said, I saw it, but for him, he told me, I know their methods. So he said, I knew what that was not whatever. So he said, there's no snake, what? So he turned around and said, okay. So he took away his torch and moved a short distance away. And now got, now he had his stick. So he just moved away a bit and then came back right now and touched now the snake was there. And he hammered it and killed it. And usually that's usually, then you hear someone in the village who died. You know those spiritual things. So he told her, now that time, she said, okay, let me believe the Lord. Because he told her, you have 3 days. But then he told me, you know, he would be sleeping. But the funny thing is, all the time he was going to a demonic world, he said he never slept. Not even an ounce of sleep. Now when he got born again, now he started getting a sleep bar. So one day he's there asleep, dozing. Then you know those things of your spirit go somewhere. Then the next thing he knows, he's on a lake, as if in a boat. Then there is a big net which comes from above and whoo, and they're trying to pull him back down to the underworld. Then he starts screaming, then the net is coming, and now he, you know, it's so big he can't get out of it. Then somehow he screams Jesus, then he disappears, then he wakes up in his bed, then, and you see those things, people, you know, you don't realize that it's actually as real as real, real, real. You understand? Eh? You were there, that's what happened. Your spirit was there, and that was, so anyhow, but for him, he knows that. So those, the other thing that happened by this week, is on the same night, a cathedral catches fire, and the Alaska Mosque in Jerusalem also catches fire on the same night. How coincidental is that? You show us that picture. The one of the Alaska Mosque and what? Alaska Mosque struck by fire on the same night as Notre Dame burns. And there are pictures next to them there. And see the Express, the Daily Express, the newspaper in UK. So, is that coincidental? No, it cannot be. But then also, that cathedral, you know, I started it some time ago when I was trying to get certain things. I started it some time ago. And then I was saying, what kind of cathedral is this? Which has pictures like this? And then, of course, at that time, I was trying to see the link between, and I actually gave a bit of a message about it, the link between architecture and spirituality. Why certain architectures, or architectural designs rather, I kind of spoke like someone who didn't go to school. Maybe because I didn't go to Harvard. Okay. Okay, now let's look at some of these pictures here. And man, they are very interesting. And this is like the spiritual center of Europe, by the way. That's why they have collected $600 million in one day to reconstruct it. $600 million to reconstruct it. Man, look, you see this guy? Okay, this is not the worst. Let's move on. You look at that. Now, this is actually showing, like, as if a human being. But this is what religion does. And, of course, by religion, I mean, because religion is the construct of the devil. Okay? Putting somebody down, somebody who is poor and miserly and what, and now he's under the cathedral and under. Go ahead and see. You see, these guys who are carrying what? Like... So there is a burden on you, and you're carrying some serious guys on top, who are clergy people. But for you, you're what? It's like, have you ever seen those pictures of slaves carrying? Those there. Go ahead. Now, this is what amused me, because in front of this picture is the other chidevo we saw there. You see this one, and the other side is another chidevo, and in between are human beings, and tied is a chain. So, human beings tie, you know the way they used to tie slaves, Or long ago, people who haven't paid musoro. They come and say, you have a video? Then they handcuff you. Now, there's a chain there, and there are poor people there, and in front is a demon, and behind is a demon. Both of them laughing. Now, of course, these are clear messages that are being put across of what actual religion does. Go ahead. Wow. You see, it's a bat. You know, there are certain animals which are definitely linked to the devil, and all of them are, you will find them here. Now this one, of course, doesn't need any commentary. Let's go ahead. Overlooking the city of Paris, to be demons on a chill. Go ahead. The blessing overlooking what? The city. Go ahead. The same, I think it's a different angle of the same picture, almost the same. Paris, some of it your dream destination, the city of love. But you know that thing of the unicorn, eh? The single horn, which the Bible talks about, eh? The one horn and what? Eh? All these things are depictions. Now, let me tell you. Okay, let's first see them, man. Go ahead. You see, eh? One person depicted as a human being, two devils either side, and they are carrying. And like, this is real torment. Eh? This is a picture of torment. These people must have gotten this from hell. Eh? Okay, go ahead. Now, you see this one is biting off the head. The head of what? Anyway, whatever's head. Of a human being, because I can see the hand. Go ahead. Now you see that they will put those animals. What's that? Is that a marabou stock or what? Eh? Whatever it is. There's one I want with. Go ahead. Wow. But, okay, these guys, eh? Honestly. Okay, go ahead. Now look at this. This is a demon having sex with a woman while strangling her. And the woman is actually a mermaid. Eh? And the demon has hoofs. Now you see, you can see there are very, very clear messages in these things. Eh? Very clear messages. Okay, go ahead. I wish it was all burnt down, the whole of it. Wow. Have we finished them? Now, here is a demon having sex with an animal. Now, just know that they are going to have that bestiality thing. Eh? This looks like a camel. You look at the expression of the animal. Eh? And look at the expression of the demon. Okay, the truth is bad. Okay, like these guys, these Europeans, they are completely ready for the return of what? Of the coming of the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Okay, we've seen most of these. Okay. Alaska Mosque struck by fire on the same night as Notre Dame. Now, I was trying to see what is the link between, because you know we have to finish quickly and you go and what? Between, in the book of Exodus, God takes Moses and tells him, takes him to, you know, on the mountain. And then when he comes down, he tells him that, of course, he goes to heaven and shows him the whatever it is, the tabernacle. Okay? The tabernacle of dwelling for God and men. And he tells him that when you come down on earth, build the tabernacle exactly the way you saw it there. Exodus 25:40. Be sure to do it in the same pattern, okay? That, and see to it that you make them according to the pattern which you was shown to you on the mountain. Okay? Now, that mountain, 40 days, not only did he show him, he gave him basically the whole thing. That's where he gave him the story of creation. That's how Moses comes and writes about Genesis and, you know, everything. So, it's there that God told him the whole story of creation and all that he came and wrote about the scriptures. God gave it to him from there. Then he shows him the tabernacle. Those 40 days and nights he spent there. Then he shows him a tabernacle and says, now in heaven, and says, go on earth and build the exact same thing, the way it is. Then Moses comes and the measurements, he tells him exactly the measurements, then the priestly garments, the way they are supposed to be, the table of showbread, everything. Those are almost 4 or 5 chapters in the book of Exodus. Just describing, this shall be how many furlongs, right, whatever, cubits, the other and the other cubits, this one what? Exactly, this is going to be made of purple, this is linen, this is gold, this is silver. Make sure it is the exact same thing as you saw. Just come and replicate it here on earth. Now, when Moses came and he told the people what he was supposed to do, they looked and they were blank. So, God told Moses, I've selected a few people whom I'm going to give the wisdom to do what I want you to do. Because they could not, the architecture at the time was far behind what God wanted them to do. They hadn't understood those things. Even the embroidery, the connecting of the curtains, it was beyond the human knowledge at the time. So God tells Moses, select these people and pray for them. I'm going to give them the spirit of wisdom that they may do exactly what I want them to do. Now, he selected a few people, and it's there in the scripture, and Moses prayed for them. And they went to sleep, not knowing how to do it. And they woke up in the morning, and suddenly they said, yes, we can do it. And now, actually, if you study history, like the knowledge of mankind, which they had at the time, God pushed it forward by 150 years. It's only 150 years later that men could do what was done by those people who God gave wisdom. That wisdom became common to human. You know how wisdom is, you know, technology. So God fast-tracked human wisdom by 150 years because he wanted that tabernacle exactly the way it was in heaven. Now the scripture says when they finished and they assembled it,
He even told them which day they should erect it. Now, when they had finished doing everything. Now, the other thing they did, he told them, now tell the children of Israel to bring what you need. So the children of Israel brought of gold, of what, and everybody who could do anything, women who could weave and so on, they brought until the artisans, the masons, came and told Moses that the people bring more than enough. Tell them to stop. The things we have are more than what we need. Then Moses told the people, thank you very much. Now you can stop bringing things of all the gold and what. Now, so it was erected on the day. Go to Exodus chapter 40, verse 17. It says, and it came to pass in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up. Now go to verse 34. Go to verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Go ahead. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle because of meeting, because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Go ahead. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. Now when they come for the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day and fire by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Now you see this architecture thing, this cathedral and all that, when people erect it in a certain way, according to a pattern they've seen somewhere, they are inviting demonic powers, because they got these things, they don't just get them from, you see, even the movies, if you've seen these movies, you know, even there's one we reviewed in our magazine called Aquaman, they go and show you tunnels into the underworld, and they know what they are saying. Then they show you a city which is called Atlantis underground, and they know what they are doing. And then they come up and build a city according to the same pattern. And what they are doing is they are saying, we are dedicating it to what? To the devil. And actually, when they build it according to the same pattern, the spirits that gave them the pattern come and inhabit. Just like Moses built his pattern according to heaven, and as soon as he erected it, the Spirit of God came in a cloud and it could not move. That even Moses could not go there because the glory of the Lord was in that place. Why? Because they had erected it according exactly the way he saw it in heaven. So it was like bringing something from heaven to earth. Or you can actually, like these people, bringing something from hell to earth. That's why I was listening to them say, this is a very important cathedral for people who understand spirituality. They're not talking about Catholicism. They're talking about spirituality. And that is very deep demonic people. And now you should see the people who gave $300 million, $100 million. You should see them. There are these guys who make perfumes and, you know, Christian Dior, the parent company owned by homosexuals. Deep, deep demonic people. Of course, that doesn't mean you don't put on the Christian Dior perfume. Eh? But demonic people. Eh? Okay, perfumes are made out of substances. Yeah. Eh? So they just know how to do it. Eh? So there's nothing demonic about the perfumes. But the people do them what? Eh? Okay. Because some people might go and make turn some that into something else. Eh? And I know there are people who are good at that. Eh? So they build that thing, and the whole purpose is to invite that presence from some place they saw. So they go into the underworld and they see these things, they see what, and then they come and present those structures and even the demons, like exactly the way somebody, it's like somebody coming and seeing me, then he goes and does a sculpture which looks exactly like me. Now these are actual demons which are on top there, and they are not doing, it's not just work of art, it can't be, it is not. That's why that's the most demonic. Now have you ever seen even the center of European demon, you know, demonic stuff? That's why maybe it was significant that it burnt. Have you ever seen art pieces of those years which are selling for $100 million right now? What do you think they are? They are demonic things. There is, like, you see an art piece, somebody just draws the what, then they auction it and it sells for $100 million. There is something deeper there, because you see, you cannot transcend all that period. Now there was one of this great artist who was in Florence in Italy. Venice, actually, not Florence, the city of Venice. His works have been celebrated for 500 years. Now, for the first time, they went to museums in America. They crossed the Atlantic. You should see the security they give those art pieces. You see them and say, what is somebody paying $100 million here for? Because it is a connection to something. And you see, those people desire to go deeper into the spirit. They desire to go deeper into the demonic world. So now, this architecture, this art pieces and other things. Actually, just create a construct of what is down there and ask the demons to come and, you know, come and take over. Why do they do that? Of course, because they want power. Power. Now, 500 years art pieces, honestly, and they are so expensive. I saw one which was the most expensive in the world. It was bought, I think, $120 million by someone who did not even identify themselves. So it was a secret bid winner. And I looked at the art piece, not the real one, the picture, of course. And I was like, really, what is so special about this art? Like, I'm thinking, okay, somebody just throws, then does things, then people with weird eyes. And then there was one of a woman who was lying, almost, okay, nude, but covering herself like this and what. Just a woman, $100 million. Why? There is something which is behind those things. Now, you see, the construct of the whole thing. Now, when you go to Hebrews 8:5, it tells you that, why? Start from verse 3. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. Now, he's talking about the new covenant. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest. Talking about Jesus, of course. Since they are priests who offer the gifts according to the law. Now go on. Who serve the copy and the shadow of the heavenly things. As Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain. Now, you know, the tabernacle, the feast of tabernacle, 7 days in which the children of Israel were told, do not sleep in your stone houses. Build a tabernacle outside and sleep there for 7 days. The feast of tabernacles. And then, it was a symbol of God coming and dwelling with man. You know, it says he became, you know, and Emmanuel, God became man and dwelt with us. Actually, the word dwelt is tabernacled. Tabernacle is where you commune. So God became man and tabernacled with us. You understand? So he said, now build a tabernacle, whatever. Now it happens. You see that thing where God told Moses, on the first day of the second month of this year, erect the tabernacle. Now, actually, if you see that the date in their Jewish calendar, and according to some people who understand those things, some rabbis, that was the exact day that Jesus was born, when the tabernacle is erected. Why is that? Because God became man and tabernacled with us. So they go to look for space in an inn, and there is no space in the inn. Why? Because God says, don't dwell in. So they go and find, that thing which is like a built temporary structure, which is like a tabernacle. So Jesus, on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, is born in a tabernacle. You understand? Eh? And a representation of God becoming man and now dwelling among people. Now, for us, of course, in the New Testament, you don't need to build your house a certain way for God to be there, because the house is actually you. Eh? Now it changed because the whole house that God dwells in and where you have to erect is yourself, your heart. Now, but you see, why do you think Freemasons celebrate the pyramid so much? Because those Egyptians had deep knowledge of how to bring the demonic. Because you go and study the pyramids, they were all built in an alignment to, if you know, what's that? Astrology. They are those, you know, what are they called? Anyway, you know those things which they say, some people say, what pieces, over what, over you are born this, what, you understand? Eh? Yeah, those things. Eh? Now, the pyramids are built in such a way that there is perfect alignment with those seven, you know, constellations is what the word I was looking for. And there's a perfect alignment. The word I was looking for the other time is Brookings Institute. The think tank. Okay. You see, when you don't try to force the mind, it remembers. Eh? So for those people, like the Freemasons and the demonic world, that was a wonder. And by the way, it was because it was ahead. How could those people with that backward technology have built that whole thing? So it was a clear passing on of spiritual knowledge to human beings to build things in a certain way. That's why there are so many people now, you go to Discovery Channel, who call themselves Egyptologists. And they are doctors who just study Egypt and pyramids. And it's a very powerful thing for them.
And everything of the Freemasonry symbol has a pyramid, because that was the devil passing on his knowledge. Now, even in cities like what? Like Washington. Now, of course, you hear the Americans say, our nation was founded on Christian principles. Okay, they believe that, and it's good for them, but it's not true. It was actually founded on Freemasonry. George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Freemasons. And the city is built in a whole, you know, that pentagram. Eh? The whole city designed, even the obelisk, everything designed a perfectly demonic thing. So now when America gets off God, they're actually coming back home. Because the people who founded it on those demonic principles. That's the truth. But of course, you try to get some American, you know, these patriotic Christians. God told some prophet that Americans don't teach end time, they teach patriotism. You know that thing of, but okay, it's good for them to love their nation, eh, because we also love. But then the truth is, it was all built, their dollar, the whatever, the pyramid thing, Ordos Novus Seclorum, announcing the New World Order on their $1 bill and everything. It is all there. And the people put it there, from Roosevelt, 1933, Freemason. Now, they're the people who come. And of course, all those things can be rattled if the church wakes up, eh, and changes them. The Statue of Liberty in New York, demonic. Now you see all those people, even the Beyoncé's, trying to copy it. A flame like this. I showed you one day Beyoncé's performance at the Grammys, eh, where she finishes and she's exactly like, you know, and then the cameras make fire out of the microphone. She just lifts the microphone like this. And it is so perfectly choreographed. And she's taking on a throne of a certain queen of heaven. So, what I'm trying to say is this. The coming together of these demonic forces to prepare the world for the Antichrist is so real that now the linkage between Pope, Europe, and all that. Now you saw the Arch of Baal, from Palmyra. You remember I showed you that one time, eh? Which they got the ark of the temple of Baal and reconstructed it. It was destroyed by ISIS in 2015. Then they reconstructed it and then they went and put it in London. Now, the funny thing is, in London, when they were erecting it, demons appeared somewhere. In the camera, there are funny things. You see a black thing flying, you then go through the arch. Then you go and check it on YouTube. Go and check it out. And then you say, so now, that arch which they put, it looks like just some ancient design, but it was actually every person who went to worship Baal or Baal or Belial, different names of the same, you know, demonic figure, had went through that arch, because the temple was the other side. So it was a gateway into the temple. And then when they finished the worship, which involved sacrificing children, burning children alive, which involved all sorts of things, it actually included all kinds of sex, homosex, sex with animals, heterosex, and other everything that was part of the worship procedure. Everything demonic, which now, right now, you cannot even speak against, because your pastor is going to come and abuse you. Eh? Now, so they would come out. So they erect it in London, and there's some weird presence, and things appear, you know. Very light, don't expect like to see something very, but it is. But you see a black thing then vanishes in the air like this, and on camera. And that was like the live feed of the unveiling of it. Then they also take it to New York. Then they took it to Dubai. Now the other day, when there was the Davos, you know that G7 thing, eh? The meeting of G7. It was in the city of Florence in Italy. And they erected that thing, that monument, in commemoration of that. So it was the coming together of the church and the great nations of the world, and all of them using very serious Babylonian symbolism, very clear. I actually got a video, I don't know if we'll have time to see it, but very clear Babylonian symbolism in the whole seven nations and so on. Now, what is the purpose of that? All of them sit for one purpose, to create a one world government with a one world religious system. Now, the way this works is previously, that's why the Pope is there, because he's the one responsible for the one world religious system, okay? Then all the seven powerful countries are there because they are the ones who are lending. And basically, they're the ones who, you know, govern everything. Now, after the G7 meeting, then there is the Davos thing, which is usually in Switzerland, somewhere in the Alps there. And that one is about, it's not the politicians, but it is the business people at the lower level. You understand? You see the way these people do their things. If a president of a country goes somewhere, executives of the top company go with him to do business. That's normal practice. You understand? So, like recently in Kenya, the French president, Emmanuel Macron, was there. And they were unveiling a plant for Renault cars. So the president comes and they deal with the upper things. But below them, they are businessmen making deals to do ABC and so on. So now the Davos which they sit every year. The company is promoting internationalism. The G7 are the nations. But you know now, things changed. Things are no longer nations trying to be above others. That was the 1970s thing of when America and, you know, the Soviet Union and all those, especially America, went into countries which had resources and either told the person, the president, we are going to do this and this, and store resources to make themselves rich. They were doing that for their countries, okay? But now that changed. They're no longer doing it for their countries. If you've read that book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, you see that time he was talking about the early years when America was doing it for America, and, you know, but of course they were top companies which were benefiting, but was generally the nation. But now, even Americans are not doing it for Americans. They are doing it for a class, a political elite, who are in America, in Europe, in China, and in everywhere, who are, their purpose is to remain on top as the cream. It's no longer nations. You can even be in Africa here and you're one of the cream, but they are to maintain their cream thing and keep everybody else down under them. That's why they fight Trump, because for him he's saying nationalism, America great again. No, nobody, even Americans don't want America great. The political elite, they don't. That's why, I mean, you look at the way Obama did. Economy down, everything down. What that's what they want. You say, how can he want that? He wants that because he's not working for the ordinary American people. He's working for the elite who want laws, which mean you can manufacture in China where you pay people very little money and go and sell in America without any tariffs, because the laws are made to favor businessmen, the top elite, who then are the ones who pay for the campaigns and so on and so forth. Now, then somebody comes and says, no, for me, I'm fighting for Americans. That means if you go and manufacture somewhere and take our jobs to China, you sell there. If you want to come and sell here, we are going to charge you money. So then it becomes cheaper to manufacture in America than there. Then everybody is angry, the media, the what, they control those. You understand? So now, that is the whole internationalism, the globalism, the creation of a new world order. That's what they are trying to, you know? That's what Trump disrupted when they were actually going to do it, because you see they are ferrying American dollars somewhere else, putting them somewhere, and say, why are they doing that? Because now the perfect place actually where it's happening is here, eh? Where the nation buys planes, but Uganda Airlines is owned by individuals. But the money that bought the aeroplanes is taxpayers' money. You know, our leaders here now have learned it. Eh? Also, are they working for the ordinary people? They are not. So you see the president going to say about wealth creation, that is Kuchina. Like, he's not interested in those people being rich. They are better poor. That's how you govern them easily. Rich people have lugezi-gezi. So he's actually not interested in making anybody rich. He's not. But you see, he has to keep on talking like that. Otherwise, you can start a French Revolution kind of thing, or a Sudan thing. Eh? So you keep on deceiving people. Eh? Bonabaga gawade over what? Now, actually, the people who got gawade are becoming less and less and less, until eventually it will all be people from one family and use national resources. So they call, they buy things using our money, but the shares in those companies are theirs. Now, that's what exactly these people, they make laws, let's say sending money to Iran, but then there are these. That's why you see even Republicans like George Bush cannot support Trump, because he's an internationalist. He's one of the biggest beneficiaries of all those Americans. From way back, they had a company called Zapata. When America was stealing oil, the beneficiaries were the Bushes. And because they have money, then they have a dynasty of people who are ruling. So even one of the, can you imagine that guy, the son of, you know, of this George Bush who died. As soon as he says he wants to stand for president, immediately he has $100 million. From who? The same guys.
Because they send you there, they have money, they send you there, and they make sure you keep up. So it doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat, they're the same people. The only one who disrupted it is this Chigai, who came on his own things, and for him, he has his own agendas. You understand? Eh? And by the way, make no mistake, they will fight him to the death. But I thank God that he got somebody who is not these mainstream believers. Eh? You understand? Because you get those mainstream believers, they can't stand the heat in the kitchen. They would have complied long time ago. Do you know what it means to have people abusing you every day? Every news channel, every newscast, they own you. But they found a stubborn man who does not care. And now he abuses back. Anyhow. Okay? But you're learning some things today. You see, some people have to understand how this world operates. Eh? Now, but I'm finishing shortly. Here is the thing about in the new covenant. You construct your structure to make sure the Spirit of God comes and dwells there. In the Old Testament, it was the tabernacle. But now God tabernacles with us. That is the New Testament doctrine. So you don't have to build your house a certain way, no. The house you have to build a certain way is you, inside yourself. You set yourself in a certain, let it be according to the pattern you saw in heaven, your house. Then when you do it, the Lord comes and dwells there. And then you start constructing from within you something outside, which is according to what? The pattern inside. You understand? I'll give you an example. First Peter 4. No, the scripture says, Luke 21:36. It says, watch therefore and pray always. Now, what is watching? What is watching when you're praying? Does it mean praying with your eyes open, not closed? Eh? Yeah, now, watch, yes. Watching when you're praying means you're not just praying, you're actually constructing something inside yourself. You understand? There is some construction going on according to a certain pattern which God has given you. Now you're seeing that pattern, watching, and then praying at the same time, and then creating that pattern to become an outside reality. Now that's what it means. It says in Matthew 26, it says, watch and pray, because the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, how do you get the Spirit to trample over the flesh? The flesh wants something, the Spirit wants something else. How do you get the Spirit tramp over the flesh? By watching. Jesus told his disciples, watch and pray. Now, don't pray when you're not seeing something. You understand? Eh? That's not watching and praying. Watching and praying means there's a certain thing you want for yourself. Okay? Or a certain, I'll tell you, for example, everything. I do that, like even every, before fellowship, every Thursday night. When I'm praying for fellowship, I am watching. I am actually seeing the way it is, and my eyes of the Spirit are open, and I'm visualizing how the fellowship is going to be, and I'm watching and I'm praying. Okay? And then because I see what I want it to be like. So, and I told you this, when I can see that it is going to be a rainy day, so I change that. Beforehand, now, I can see when it's going to be a sunny day, so then I know I don't need to pray about rain, but I'm watching and praying. Now, that's how you construct the way these people do. The reason they need those architecture designs and so on is to give their eyes something to see. Now, even in the Old Testament, God wanted them to see something the way it is in heaven. Then he comes and dwells in them because they have constructed something the way it was there. But now, when you're seeing something that is patterned according to what God is calling you to do, you understand? And you see it, and you pattern yourself, and then you pray when you're seeing, not just religious prayers. You understand? Eh? Now, I don't like religious prayers, by the way. When you pray religiously, you lose interest, you never pray for long because you're not seeing something. Now, the day you actually have something that you're seeing, and it is at the heart of your mind, and you're obsessed with it, and you know, it might even be your life, like your financial life, or even something. The purpose of these words of God is to bring you into a visualization of what the words say. Okay? So you visualize something. I'll give you an example of something I've been doing recently. In 2 Peter 1:3. It says, 2 Peter 1:3. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which
have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Now, for me, what I have been focusing on is what is the divine nature? Because some, you know, people say, I am only human. Now, he says, you've been given promises. Promises don't mean fulfillment. There is a work you have to do. If I tell you come to my office and I give you money, you have to take the step of coming. Otherwise, the promise is what? Void. Now, he has given us promises by which you can partake of a divine nature. So you have a nature which is totally divine. That means somebody was telling me the other day that I spoke about moving in rain and it does not hit them. And they went and practiced it and meditated on it. Then one day they actually walked in the rain and arrived home dry when it is raining. And the rain does not touch you. Now, that is a partake of divine nature. Because is that human? Yeah. Now, somebody just meditates on that and says, no, but I can walk in the rain. And then you bring it about. And then the key to spirituality, by the way, is the mind. So you put your mind there, then your mind moves to your imagination. Then you start imagining yourself walking in the rain, and it's raining heavily, and it's not touching you. You're even talking on phone, and it's raining heavily, and everybody is, even umbrella, you know that, what? And you're dry. And then you imagine it, then you do it, then you get beaten by rain, then you imagine, then you do, you get beaten, until one day it works. Then you say, now I have a partaker. Of what? Of the divine nature. Eh? Can you imagine an angel saying, it's raining, I'm wet? Eh, because it's that nature, they have that nature. Now, this is the nature that says we have been given us promises. So, if you want to be a human being, good for you. But you see, you can actually be a partaker of. That's just an example. But let me finish by saying this: the construct of what is inside you. 1 Peter 4:17. It's 4:7 actually. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Amen. Keep it there. Be serious and watchful. That's what New King James says. Serious and watchful. Watchful. Which means when you're not watching, you're not what? You're saying prayers. You're not praying. I know there are people who are good at that. In the name of the Father, Son, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us. And you're saying prayers, which is different from praying. And some people sing worship and don't worship. That's different. It's, you know, words without the corresponding. So now here he's saying, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Okay. Try another version, King James. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Try Amplified. But the end and culmination of all things has now come near. Keep sound minded and self-restrained, and alert, therefore, for the practice of prayer. Alert, self-restrained. That means with complete control over your mind for the practice of prayer. You understand? Now, that is something you have to train yourself. The other day, I was watching a football match, and my team lost because of those video assistant, you know? Okay, not my team, but the team I was supporting. Eh? So I even celebrated a win. They go and the goal is disallowed. But when the game ended, it says clear your mind for the practice of prayer. So now I switch off the TV and take 5 minutes to remove all the football out of my mind. It's easier when you've won, but when you've lost, it's not. Because I knew I had to pray for something which was going to happen the next day. And I had to envision something. So sometimes when your mind is so active because of the day, it can even take you 30 minutes to just pray yourself away from that active day into a place where now you are clearly can envision. Praise the Lord. Now that can mean a house you want, a what, anything. This is how you pray and have effective results. Praise the Lord. Anything. Not anyone. Okay. Maybe even anyone. But you understand what I'm saying? So you clear your mind of all these things. So let's say you've had a bad day, what, you know. Let's say you're broke and there's nothing in your wallet. But you really want to do something that is going to actually have an impact and not just religion. So you get a message or something of a word that you've had and then start putting pictures to that word, putting pictures to it. Okay? They prophesied, I'm going to be like this. I'm going to be ABC. So you start putting pictures to that word and then have those pictures and watch that. That is you constructing something in you which the Holy Spirit is going to come and dwell in. You understand? The same way he came and dwelt in the tabernacle, because it was constructed according to the pattern. As soon as they erected it, he came and dwelt there. Now, you construct something in yourself and you make sure you take a hold of it. Anything. See how it is going to turn out. And, you know, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Don't just pray. Watch and pray. Then you're seeing. Keep, try NIV, you see? Keep sound-minded, self-restrained, alert. The end of all things near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled. I like that. You understand? Because let me tell you, all of you, when you start, your mind will be like this, like this, like this. You know that. You've tried that, haven't you? Yeah. So now you're thinking about the football, how you lost the other penalty, should not have been given the other. What? So your mind is turbulent like this. But you're trying to pray and get it down, but it is still jumping. So you need some more time to, you know, to control it. Calm down. Then you even take until finally it calms down. Now you have a clear, open mind, which is like a canvas where you can draw anything. Build your own building, okay, of what you want. So now you're a calm mind, the scripture says, is precious in the eyes of the Lord. It says that in 1 Peter 3:4. Okay, start from verse 3. Not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, and putting on fine apparel merely. Okay? Go ahead. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the eyes of God. A gentle and quiet spirit. When your spirit is not... It's gentle and quiet. And then it's calm inside you. Then you can do your own architecture and construct what you want. How you want your dream house. How you want, you know, whatever you want, construct it as you're praying. Okay? That's what it means to watch and pray. Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much for the wonderful work that you do among us. We thank you, Father, because this day we are going to be watchers and prayerful. We're going to be watchers and prayerful. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, because your word sunk in us, and we shall be the people that construct the pattern of our hearts according to what you've shown us. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because our canvas is clear and ready for the manifestation of what it is you want us to be. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I pray for provision and blessing upon each and every person who connects here this day in the name of Jesus. And upon each and every person here in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because of the connection, the way they receive this word and connect with it, and it gives birth in their spirit to something tangible. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We will go
for you. That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780-292-555 or +256 755-292-555. The Watchman, the King is coming.